To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its sponsors, Christy Doherty and Mia Hansen Aloha, and our very special super subscriber sponsor, Miss Madonna Hines, Madge with a sexy J. We love you, girls. Hello, and welcome to the Watch What Crappens podcast, the podcast about all that crap we'd love to talk about on Yale Bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam from the Trash Talk Real Housewives of Beverly Hills audiobooks recaps and Rose Pricks, the Rose Pricks Bachelor podcast. Sorry, it took me a second there. I was like, what am I talking about? Where am I? Who am I?
It is.
And I'm with the gorgeous, talented, and wonderfully friended up Ben Mandelker of the B-Side Blog and the Banter Blender.
Oh my goodness. I feel like I'm on the verge of a sneeze. I feel like everyone just be prepared because I know I sneezed on a recent episode and I can only imagine how that sounded to people who were listening in their earbuds. And I feel, to quote the Weeknd, former lover of the other one, I feel it coming on. I feel it coming.
I feel it coming. I feel it coming on. And just repeat that 5 million times, slightly off key, and you'll be him, the Weeknd.
I feel like nothing soothes a sneeze like the dulcet tones of the Weeknd.
The Weeknd. Everybody, welcome to Monday's show. This is Monday.
I know. Welcome to Monday. We did it. We're here at Monday.
You guys, we made it through this weekend. Lots of drinking. Lots of stinking drinking.
Lots of thinking. Thinking and drinking.
Yeah, not lots of thinking over here. Lots of drinking, not lots of thinking.
Yeah. I went to the mall in the valley.
Oh my God, the Galleria?
No, that's a little too fancy. I went to Fashion Square Mall, right on Riverside Drive off of the Woodman exit on the 101. I think that might be the mall that Clueless shot in. I don't know, but it was a wonderful.
That's weird because I was just at that place where they have the Western guy, that big Western clown thing, that liquor store.
Oh yeah, of course. Which yes, that's Clueless.
Yeah,
of course, it's Circus Liquors. That's Circus and I was there Liquors. Just last night.
You were?
Yeah.
Oh my God, we're like in the same place. Oh
my God, we're like doing it. We're doing a dance.
We're like literally in the same place.
I know, literally in the same place. Okay, everyone's really fascinated by our geographical proximity.
I know,
right
you
now.
Guys, this is a weird start because it's Monday. Okay.
Yeah, Mondays, am I right?
Mondays, guys.
Oh, wait, actually, I do want to say one thing before we launch into the podcast that's sort of not podcast related. One thing I did do this weekend is I went and I voted early in the LA elections, and I even have a little I voted sticker. So for anyone who is listening to this who is in the Los Angeles area, know that tomorrow there is an election and you should go and you should vote. It's actually really important. And if you want my opinion, which you did not even ask for, vote no on Measure S. That's all.
All right. Well, got it in there. Politics.
See, go on.
Got,
top
got
shot.
Our politics, guys. Vote for Measure Shirley tomorrow.
Yeah, I was about to say. It's hitting too close to home with the Top Chef finale.
Yeah, vote for Measure. Oh my God, I was crazy kid jumping off tree.
Trap a label every rooftop.
Yeah, I would vote for that. So we start with, this is the finale of Top Chef.
Top Chef finale episode.
Who aren't aware of what's happening in the world. Top Chef is Oves.
It's Totes Oves, and we're down to two ladies, Brooke and Shelley.
Shirley Chung, come out strong. That's how it started. They were having memories, and Padma's like, Shirley Chung came out strong.
I changed my career at 28 to become chef. Mom didn't improve.
Did you mean to come out so strong that you burst through a wall like the Kool-Aid man?
Did your mother mean to not improve?
Did your mother mean to not ever say anything, just stare at you with a steely gaze from across the room for 28 years?
Did the Kool-Aid man mean to dump its contents into Gail's throat?
Did Gail mean to drink the Kool-Aid, even though she should have known it would never actually make her cool?
Did Gail mean to murder the Kool-Aid man?
Did you mean to call it the Kool-Aid man instead of the Gail Simmons angry and red walking through walls man? Bless her heart.
Oh, my favorite thing in this memory is that Shirley's telling this lovely story about her mom, and then it cuts to a picture with her in a pig's head. Fucking chefs.
I somehow missed that.
With her with a big smile on her face. She's so nice until you see her gutting a pig, you know?
She probably threw the pig off the roof. She's like, when I was trying, I throw pig off roof. All time. Throw pig off roof. We call it pig off roof game.
This pig is crazy. Never learn its lesson.
Sometime when pig is tired, I give a jalapeno to wake up.
Which leads us, you know, I love that that becomes a through line in this episode. Shirley's jalapeno. Tom's like, whoop.
Yeah.
There was only one tiny sliver. And whoop. I mean, three fish, one jalapeno, and two cilantro. So, wow.
It's jumping ahead a little bit, but that was my favorite ornery Tom critique since the time he went after someone for serving Coca Van and using a chicken instead of an old hen, like an old rooster. Oh, it's called a Coke. So it's supposed to be an old rooster, and you deserve a chicken. I don't know. Do you remember that?
Yes. And Tom counting the pieces of mint and jalapeno and then repeating it 30 times. He's like, yeah. So impressed that he counted that.
He was like a freaking SAT question. Well, you got four pieces of hamachi and crudo, and you got three pieces of jalapeno and one piece of mint. How many bites do you have to take in order to get all three of them in your same mouth?
If a train starts 20 miles from here, and then it starts going backwards 15 miles ahead on the track, and then it makes a U-turn, how many pieces of mint were on the crudo? It's not math class, mint. Tom.
Well, mint is to crudo as jalapeno is to nothing, apparently, because there's proportions are off. So, anyway, that's ahead.
I know that I just giggle this whole time always, but now that I have this big mic arm thing on my desk, I shake the entire desk when I giggle. Because my legs are like up on the desk and the whole mic shakes and the whole desk is like earthquaking every time I'm laughing.
Does this mean you've got to return to couch desk? Because you've been away from couch desk for like a year now.
No, but I got I found a zero gravity chair finally on Craigslist for cheap. And so I bought it. Oh. And that means I can like lay down kind of almost upside down, you know, where my legs are above my head. And so I'm going to get a mic that hooks onto the back of that. And when it's your days to record, hell yeah, I'll be laying the hell back in that thing.
I am just imagining Ronnie just floating through his apartment like that Homer Simpson does in that one famous moment where he's in zero gravity eating potato chips. Except I imagine you talking into a microphone instead.
The most disappointing thing about the zero gravity chair is eating. I mean, I've almost choked to death like 20 times. You can eat laying down, but not kind of upside down. It doesn't really work. My throat doesn't know how to do it yet. Practice makes perfect, guys, but Domino's almost killed me the other night.
I don't think I could get onto a zero gravity chair because, A, I'd probably fall off, and B, I would probably choke. Because in my old age, apparently I have – when I get post-nasal drip, it like drips into my lungs if I'm sitting at a certain angle, like if I'm slouched on a couch, and I'll just be sitting there and I'll just suddenly start to like choke because post-nasal drip fell into my lungs. And I'll be like, so basically zero gravity is inviting all the post-nasal drip into my lungs and I'm not about to have it.
I killed Ben with my zero gravity chair.
So meanwhile, Top Chef, my first note is that Brooke still feels raw. She feels raw from losing 4 years ago. The trials,
Brooke,
and tribulations.
Oh, for Christ's sake. Well, I noticed a couple things that I have to say before that, because I want this podcast to be 19 hours long, talking
good
about post-nasal drip and chairs. But don't worry, it's not about that. But In this beginning part, when Padma's like, Padma, pardon me, is narrating their journey or whatever. She's like, Brooke renewed now. Brooke has battled her way back into the season. It was one challenge. Let's stop making it sound like Brooke climbed a fucking mountain here. And then she's like, and now with a renewed sense of self.
What is she like? Phoenix? Risen from the ashes? What is she? What is she? I don't get it. Like, what is she? Like, what's the matter?
Brooke got a nap and she's fucking renewed now. It's like she was gone 1 week.
I know. She had to make probably like paella or something for Tom. And he's like, well, look, there's mint and jalapeno for every grain of rice. So, you know, you're going to Mexico.
The math works out. So you're back. And Brooke's like, I wasn't ready 4 years ago, but I sure as hell am now. Okay, Brooke, I don't know what she did on her week off, but she came back. I mean, she's always been droll, Brooke, but she's kind of asshole Brooke now. And I have to say, I like asshole Brooke.
I like asshole Brooke too. It is funny that she says that 4 years ago she wasn't ready, because the truth is that 4 years ago she managed the finals without getting voted off. So I think she was actually a little more ready than she realized. She just got screwed by a terrible finale format.
Yeah.
And she had CJ as her sous chef.
Also, one nut CJ. The other thing I never noticed is that he has one nut, right? I don't know why I'm thinking
probably.
That.
I think so.
I think he does, which is fine. No He's offense tall. To anybody with one nut. One nut CJ. What am I trying to say? I never noticed that Padma always says, and at stake for the winner. I was like, oh my God, the food puns.
I know.
I'll let go of the beginning now. We're past the
It's okay. I know you love recapping a previously on. I get it.
I do. And also just the entire opening. Because how is this show still only paying people $125,000 to win? That is so
furnished lame. By our friends at Hidden Valley Ranch. You see Katie there. Just the camera's on Katie. Oh, sorry. She just backs away slowly from Hidden Valley Ranch.
Hidden Valley Ranch.
San Pellegrino. I'm like, how mortified is San Pellegrino that they are partnered with Hidden Valley Ranch for Top Chef? They're like, come on.
They're like, well, at least it's cheap. This is the cheapest season-long ad anybody's ever paid for, ever. $125,000.
I'm surprised we didn't hear like a million references for Terlanti Wines this season.
Or the flywall, like on Project Runway. So this opens with a shot of what I imagine Padma would think is Gail's big stupid face. It's like the statue of like an Aztec face.
That's like, a famous.
Did you mean to etch Gail into your statue 19,000 years ago?
I believe that was an image of the Mayan calendar. And I think the reason why I know that is because, as I mentioned last week, I have a Mayan calendar board game. And that image is in the center of the board.
That image is secretly Hitler.
The Gail Simmons calendar.
Well, everybody, let's open this episode. It's Secrets Akumal. Now, this is where we first get to start seeing Bitch Brooke, which I just loved. Like, she came full out in this episode, and I was loving it. And Brooke is terrified of her. And I never really noticed that until they were alone together. But Brooke is eating extremely aggressively. She's getting a fork full of food, and then she's, like, looking at Shirley deadpan and opening her entire mouth and popping it in there and then staring at Shirley really aggressively as she eats. And Shirley looks terrified.
Well, I mean, wouldn't you become a little bit of a bitch if you had to carry on the family legacy of flan making? If you had to live in the shadow of your parents being award-winning flan makers, wouldn't that stress come out with aggressive chomping for you?
Especially when she was like, when I first lost Top Chef, I just, coming in second, I was a huge disappointment to my family, my child, my husband, the neighborhood, the post office, my dog, the dog park, the entire dog park was disappointed.
The local flan council of Baja.
Could just imagine Brooke's mom at flan meeting, like, I know. Well,
we can't all be winners. Lead a Brooke to water, but you can't teach her to make proper flan.
Do we hang the mother when a serial killer is on the loose?
Brooke is like, well, ever since I lost 4 years ago, I was really floundering. Oh my goodness, I can't get the flan out of my head.
Fodden was like, watch out, your flan is at stake.
At stake, $125,000 furnished by people who've won flan competitions, including Brooke's own parents. No pressure, Brooke.
It's like, well, I don't got all that money, but I do have a couple of nice pashminas, honey. Good luck.
Here's a spoon.
Please don't disappoint us again.
Yeah.
So Shirley's like, I just stay calm. I just trying to stay calm. And Rick's like, yeah, just stay calm and cook better than Shirley. And then it just shows, it cuts to Shirley not smiling at all.
Yeah. Bitch Shirley came out today also. I just want to add, it wasn't just Bitch Brooke. Bitch Shirley came out too, which was great. This is what we want.
She did. I never noticed Bitch Shirley.
Really? Did you miss the entire frenemy moment about the pork belly? Well, we'll get to that.
Did you mean to miss? Okay.
Did you mean to be so positive to Shirley when she was being a bitch to Brooke?
So Tom and Padma come out to welcome them, and Tom is in the ever so popular for 50-year-old guys Tommy Bahama hat. That yeah. needs to go away, the Tommy Bahama hat. I'm sick of it. Flowered shirts on men and Tommy Bahama hats and like loose linen cream pants.
I actually feel like the moment for nice headwear for men over 50 has passed. There was a period of time when a man was known for good headwear, a good fedora, top hat, etc. But these days, guys over 50, you know, whether they're wearing a Tommy Bahama hat or one of those, what are those called? I always want to call it a Kegel hat, but it's not called a Kegel hat because obviously Kegels
that's
are something different.
That's a vaginal exercise.
A Kugel hat. What's that thing that looks like a beret turned backwards?
Isn't a Kugel like a Russian noodle?
It's like a Jewish, yeah, whatever those hats are. The truth is this, unless it's like a baseball cap, these days a lot of men do not look good with a hat if they're over 50. I'm sorry. Look at the guy who presented on the Oscars, Mark Rylance. He wore a little, was that a pork pie? Whatever it was, a Walter White hat.
Well, men, I think straight men, like the metrosexual thing is finally getting to the older men, and they're like, I want to accessorize, okay? Accessory is good.
Actually, I might dial it back. I might say, it might pertain only to white men, too. It may be specific to white men.
You're fine with minorities and hats.
I think I'm fine with minorities and hats, but
I love when you make a stand.
I like making a racial stance on in the realm of haberdashery. I think that
I also like when you say haberdashery. You're just like hitting all my likes today.
People are going to accuse me of reverse racism. Well, you know what? I don't care. I'm saying it. White guys over 50, a lot of hats don't work for them anymore.
So this, they announced.
That is like, I don't know.
We've now made it 90 seconds into the show. It's like 17, and I'm fine with it, actually.
I'm fine.
I don't mean to stress you with your haberdashery hats.
Haberdashery stances.
We should also add that we are recording this on a Saturday. This is coming out on a Monday, but I mean, I'm still kind of.
So you just exposed all the lies we had talking about our weekend that we had. You just put it all the way out there. Did you mean to expose all our lies, Ronnie?
I can't lie. I'm a terrible liar. Well, I can lie, but then I always admit.
But no one was even pressing you, Ronnie. No one was saying, wait a second, this doesn't sound like a Monday. No one was even pressing you. You just confessed for no reason.
It just feels weird. I don't like being dishonest, especially when I just burped up vodka from yesterday. I was like, wow, that's Tito's and chips.
But by the way, I did actually vote. I just happened to vote today. It was Saturday. I voted at a library in North Hills, California.
Oh, yeah.
And then I went to the mall.
Measure Shirley is not a lie. Okay.
Measure Shirley. Right now. Measure Shirley is fucked. Like, honestly, like the only people who are in support of Measure Shirley are the NIMBYs in the hills. Let me tell you something. Okay. People should vote it down. You should vote. Ronnie, please go vote. At least vote Measure S down. That's all I ask.
Okay, babe.
Thanks.
As if Anywho. Measure Shirley hasn't taken enough crap this week.
Yeah. So, okay. So now Tom comes out with Padma, and they introduce the final challenge, which is to just cook a progressive four-course meal. And I don't remember if Tom did this, but I feel like every single season he just clasps his hands and goes, it's pretty simple. Just cook a really good meal.
Yep, that's it. Just, you know, count your mint. Count your jalapeno.
make sure you've got there's a mint for every hamachi piece and a jalapeno for every mint. Keep it simple.
Just make keep sure. Just make sure you do as the Aztecs did and add stuff. That would be great.
Just, yeah, and just remember when it comes to Gale, you may need to up your proportions. Gale's like, you too, Tom. You too.
Tom, I think, was just getting wasted the whole night before because he showed up in this hat. He looked like death, and I think he burped. I think they showed Tom burp. I can't be sure, but I was like, did Tom just burp? I won't remind.
He's still working through some of some of Sheldon's tamale stuffed melon or whatever it was.
His tamale cheese stick or whatever the fuck he made.
Actually, he wasn't a judge in that, so he just was working through his own shit.
So they get to pick teams. They bring back all of the other dum-dum chefs.
Every single chef. Yeah, every single one. Yeah.
Because Lena Dunham hasn't been shit on enough. Glad they brought her out for another public shitting on.
By the way, pause. I watched Girls for the very first time.
You'd never watched Girls before?
I've never seen it before. I watched the most recent episode.
Did you like it?
I really did, yeah.
I like Girls, too. It took me a long time to get into it, and honestly, I really do. And it's not like a fat-shaming thing or anything like that. I just really don't need to see Lena Dunham fuck that much. Like, I don't know if they're still doing it, but in the first few seasons, it's just, she's like, look, I'm naked, riding some dude again. And I'm like, you know what? I get that you like Sex and the City. You, ma'am, are no Samantha. Please just sit down. Just keep writing funny lines with your clothes on. Thanks.
She was fully clothed in this episode, although there was a penis. So, anyway.
Oh, well, that's good. Talk about fairness.
Yeah. So, anyway, it's time to pick the sous chefs. And they all, I think Shirley gets first choice. They draw knives. Shirley gets first choice. What does she do? Her very first choice is not Sheldon. It's not Silva. It's not even Lena Dunham. She goes for Casey. Okay.
I knew that she was in trouble when she did this.
Absolutely. I was like, well, Shirley just lost.
Yes. And Casey is famous. You know, unfortunately for her, because I know it still makes her cry at night. So sorry, Casey. But Casey's kind of famous for fucking up finales for people.
I don't even know how many finales she's fucked up, but I'm imagining it's probably about 7 or 8 at this point.
Yeah.
Maybe 1. And probably 7 or 8.
Not only that, but she's like Brooke's best friend. So,
Well, see, here's the thing. Shirley thought that she was handicapping Brooke by taking Casey. And unfortunately, you can't – Top Chef is not a board game. You can't really game the system in that way. I mean, you could if you were to put, you know, Katsuji with John. Okay, maybe there. If you know people are going to be toxic together, but you can't – don't take someone who won't be as good for you because you think it'll disable someone, because it's just not going to work, Shirley, especially with Casey. She's the Black Widow of Top Chef.
Yes, never – choose someone for your team that served judges fried chicken's feet on purpose. Like, that was just so wrong in so
many
ways.
Oh my god, that was that dim sum challenge from a few years ago, right?
Yeah, that was I think when she got kicked off that season.
Yeah, that was a disaster. I mean, don't get a sous chef who can't tell that her scallops have gone bad. Don't get a sous chef who can't salt her stuff properly. I'm sure Casey's a very good chef, but on Top Chef though, she obviously has had problems, although this is the best she's ever done.
Yeah. Well, Shirley's lucky that she didn't put dish soap in her food, because that's so Casey. Yeah.
Or force a sous vide machine on her crudo.
So Brooke picks next, and she takes Sheldon, and she's like, well, I love Casey to death, but Sheldon's better anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay. Casey needs more reasons to cry watching this show.
Exactly. So then I thought Shirley's next pick, Shirley, no pun intended. Caught myself there. That was not a joke. But I thought that Shirley couldn't be serious when she chose Katsuji over someone like Silva. Although I guess she probably was a little traumatized by Silva giving her like a vanilla sugar or something or other. Vanilla syrup.
Yeah, I think Silva's already made his stance in the Shirley kitchen.
Yeah. So, but still, Katsuji. I guess she chose Katsuji because he could speak, you know, Spanish, and he knows Mexican culture.
Yeah.
But that was it seemed like Katsuji and Casey felt like bad omens.
And Katsuji's like, is it because I'm Mexican? No, it's because you're hot, Katsuji. Just get over here. Okay? So Brooke takes Sam because he's so positive. Which just makes me laugh because that's like just happened this season that Sam's like so positive.
Yeah, I was surprised that Sam was chosen. Although I guess it ultimately worked out well for her. I thought for sure Brooke was going to choose Silva. I thought Silva was still going to win somehow.
I feel like Silva's one of those people that like does great. And then he's like, oh my God, it's like the fire in my kitchen. And then everything just goes to shit. And he just shits the bed over and over again.
Like that guy last year, was it last year? The guy who lost, the black guy. He lost 2 years ago to May. Remember?
Yeah. No, I don't.
He was doing really, really well. He was excellent. And then he started to falter at the end. And then May won. And then I don't even remember. Last year was California. Oh, California was that guy, Jeremy. And we had his Crudo, and we were not impressed.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Crudo is a ballsy thing to make, not because it's so hard, but because it's so not hard. I don't know why people do that. And I hate when they do it all the time. It's like, Crudo, it's the finale. Why are you making a Crudo? Come on.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like, well, I mean, I understand, too, that if you're doing a proper, if you're going to do progressive meal in your restaurant, you might actually want to start with a Crudo. But I also agree. I think that was a misstep by Shirley. It wasn't adventurous enough.
But I'm glad that she did it because it was fun to see Brooke get bitchy about it. But we'll get there. So the judges are picking the final sous chefs, and it turns out to be the heads of both of their restaurants.
Chef de cuisine. Which was cool. It was, you know, Shirley's and Brooke's chef de cuisines, and Shirley was all excited because she feels like her chef de cuisine is like a brother, which I thought was nice.
A very, very quiet brother. And then we found out from meeting their families later that they are all quiet. Shirley's the only one. I don't know if Shirley just got her ear poked when she was younger or what, because the rest of the family is like, oh, hello, hello, hello. She's like, hello, mom!
Yeah, but maybe they were loud at one point and they just decided it's just better to be quiet and let Shirley quack away.
Well, I think that that Brooke's chef de cuisine is going to have a job for the rest of his life because, I mean, it's no small feat to make Brooke look energetic. I mean, this guy was like a lump on a log, as Mr. Odom from Zach White Elementary would have said. What are you, a bump on a log? That's also where my Kim Richards voice comes from.
Okay.
Thanks, Mr. Odom.
She would say the same thing. By the way, we should mention that Catherine Spires, who was our guest, I think actually pretty much close to the top of the season, maybe like 2 weeks in, she, on her podcast, the Smart Mouth podcast, she just interviewed Brooke this week. So if people are interested in hearing what Brooke has to say about anything, go check out Catherine's podcast.
Oh, rad.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
So next up, so they start deciding what they're going to be making for this, and Shirley decides Crudo, which, you know, we talked, and then she's...
Go ahead. Well, just say, guess what? Shirley's cooking based on memories.
Yeah. Like, my first dish is jumping from tree! Just like eggs falling from the sky.
I know. First dish is jumping from roof to roof. So therefore, how much you could do?
I like that she didn't even come up with like short, cute names. She'd like title her dishes, running round in circles till I fall over.
It's like that one Fiona Apple album that had that really long title. You
know, I really like gum, but sometimes I chew it and it gets stuck in my nose. Crazy, right?
I'm surprised the first dish wasn't called. This reminds me of the first time I went to a restaurant and I went to go get something and I had sushi. And sushi was raw. And I said, Mom, I can't believe it's raw. She said, it's raw. And I was like, okay, wow. So this is called It's Raw. That's the entire title, by the way.
It's like five lines long. They're like, wait, why is this menu a phone book? And you still learn nothing about Shirley except that she jumps off trees.
Yeah.
Okay, so she's decided she's going to make Crudo. I forget the memory there, but there you go. She's making Crudo, okay?
Yeah, I think because she loves Red Snapper or something. And so it was like she remembers going to, she just remembers Red Snapper.
And then the first thing I made at 8, top ramen at 8.
Yeah.
The third course is dedicated to my dad, suckling pig. I was like, okay, fat shamer. If I was her dad, I would be crying right now. I'm like, thanks a lot, Shirley. And then sticky rice pudding, no rice.
Yes. And then for Brooke, I don't even remember her the stories behind her things. I just know that she wanted to start off with a bang with an oyster.
Well, she at least did come up with stories this time, because usually Brooke's like, well, I don't like stories, so, I mean, it makes it harder for me, so the story behind this dish is that I don't like stories.
Story behind this dish is that I really like oysters, so dot, dot, dot.
I couldn't come up with a peanut butter crumble parfait story, so please don't kick me off.
They eventually go to the market to go shopping, which is like, you know, the typical market montage, you know, Shirley yapping away down every aisle and
Brooke like, Shirley, she's yeah. Like, she's like, hola, ¿cómo estás? Do you have bacon?
Yeah, she did say, do you have bacon? I noticed that. So like the usual thing, frenetic, like 5 more minutes, you know, all that stuff. Shirley, be quiet. You know,
my goal is when people eat food, I want it to trigger memories. Like, you do not want to trigger an entire room of like sensitive people, okay? Especially chefs. It's going to turn into an AA meeting in here. No triggering.
Tom's like, well, I was starting to get triggered, but I didn't have quite enough mint or jalapeno to finish the trigger. So now I have no memory.
Padma's like, I don't know why that load of warm bacon grease with an oyster is triggering me. Did you mean to make me cry?
Did you mean to make me think of salmon?
Padma's gooey bacon loads. Okay, so back at the hotel, they have ordered their meats from the hotel. And yeah. They go back to check them, and Brooks isn't there. And I thought it was going to be like, I cannot believe they've handicapped me. But she just forgot.
She forgot to order her pork belly. But luckily, Shirley has ordered some pork belly as a contingency. Her plan is that if her suckling pig doesn't work out, she's going to make the pork belly. So Brooke, even though she got short rib as a backup, she really wants the pork belly. So she's asking Shirley, oh, can I have that pork belly? And Shirley's like, Because you just are like backing up quietly, trying to like disappear into the shadows.
Yeah. She's like, oh, yeah, no, yeah, no, yeah, yeah, no, yeah, yeah. You want pork belly? No, you can't have. Yeah, you can have it. No, no. Yeah, no. It's like, Shirley, you don't have to. Just say no. It's fucking Brooke. She doesn't deserve it. And Brooke probably wouldn't give it to her either.
Yeah, I think it's pretty ballsy to, like, if you make a mistake like that, if you've already purchased stuff as a contingency plan, I think it's really ballsy to ask from your competitor in the finals for that pork belly and then expect it too. And I'm not saying that Brooke was really, really expecting it, but that puts Shirley in a very awkward place. But then again, these chefs, they always have these lofty sentiments about, about being a chef and winning the competition. I mean, I'd rather win because I was the best chef and not because you've got an ingredient, whatever. I'm like, fuck, I just want to win.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see how you feel by the end of this episode, ma'am. But yeah, Brooke does seem kind of like she's like, yeah, I can have your pork belly, right?
Yeah. Like, can I have your pork belly because you're not really using it. It's just a backup. I'm like, well, you know what? Because she took the time to double check her order. So sorry.
Yeah. And Shirley's like, she goes, no, Brooke said, well, by tomorrow, there's a 50-50 chance that, you know, one of us is going to win. And Shirley goes, yeah, well, what if 51? Because if I don't want to give up my pork. And she laughs, and Brooke's like, really, Shirley? Really? Well, I have short ribs just in case. And I was like, oh, yes, bitch Brooke.
Yeah.
Where's bitch Brooke been? I really like bitch Brooke.
Well, I also feel like if you got the short ribs just in case, that means you have another idea of what you could make. So just make it because you messed up, you know?
Yeah. So they go, they're at home just kind of chilling, and it's another awkward scene with just the two of them stuck at home. And Brooke's like, so let's just enjoy the last day together. And then it cuts to Shirley, like, not smiling again. Or Shirley's
like, this bitch want my pork belly. So, Brooke, You want to jump off roof now? It's fun.
So at dinner, they go to dinner and their husbands are there. And
Brooke's kids there too.
I thought it was weird that when they walked into dinner, Brooke's husband got up and she's like, oh my God. And they're like hugging. And the kid is just kind of sitting in the chair looking at her. He's like, who is this woman? She's like, hi, remember me? I'm the lady who stole the dinosaur out of your room while you were sleeping. Got me kicked off the first time, you little fucker. But I'll talk to you again now.
I also like how Shirley had this monumental monumental emotional moment when she's like, you know, I never want children because, you know, I want to be chef and it's like a demands of restaurant me. I can't have children, but I see Brooke has a kid. So now I want family now. I'm like, really? Just because you saw a kid? You saw a kid and all of a sudden you're going to change your entire life plan?
Brooke, show me that you can ignore kid and it's okay. No one cares. So I do it too.
As long as you have little dinosaur, people think you're a good mother.
If I bring dinosaur, I look like crazy Shirley. There she go, bringing in plastic dinosaur again. Crazy. So in the morning, they're both packing their knives and they're being really quiet. And the only reason I wrote that down is because I just like writing over and over again, Shirley's terrified of Brooke. It was like my favorite running storyline through this whole thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yes, Shirley was terrified of Brooke for sure.
So we get to the pig and poor Katsuji has to break down the pig and he's the kosher chef. Did he drop a knife and then start cutting the pig with it?
I mean, that's the least of Katsuji's offenses, let's be honest. But he did drop a knife. They may look like he dropped it five times, but it's probably just from the same angle. But do we know, is Katsuji actually Jewish too? We know that he cooks in a kosher restaurant, but I don't know if he was actually Jewish.
I think so, because his style of cooking is kosher Mexican and it's his food truck. Yeah. So,
I mean, he really is a mashup, right? Japanese, Jewish, Mexican. I've never seen anything like that.
He's like a mashup between like Squiggy and like Zero Mostel.
He's like Mauricio meets Mr. Miyagi. I'm just talking purely ethnically. I'm not looks. It's just that's the only thing my brain can reference. That's I'm like Ken Watanabe and
just anybody and, Jewish.
I'm like and Jackie Mason and Vicente Fox.
Shecky Green and I'm just gonna keep saying Zero Mostel, like, even though those are two Jewish people.
Woody Allen and
Sun Yi. Done. Drop the mic.
She's not Japanese though.
Oh, for Christ's sake. Don't rope me into a racist comment.
I can't even think. I'm like blanking on every Japanese celebrity that's out there. I'm just like Ken Watanabe, and that's it. I've reached my limit.
So you know who didn't reach their limit?
Brooke.
The porks. Okay, Brooke. I'll go with that.
I don't know. Who you go. I just guessed.
So now is where we just get into the main cooking part. So Brooke is going to make, for her first course, she's going to make an oyster with bacon vinaigrette. And now she repeats the story 30 times, which is why I said she's really making an effort to come up with stories, because usually she doesn't. And she's like, I first had this at dinner with my parents in Baja, where they live, and I just loved it. And I was like, wow, that's a good effort. I mean, she repeats the same three lines probably 30 times in this episode. And I'm like, that is so cute that's Brooke's story. Like, she worked on that.
That's definitely a step up from a few episodes ago when her story was, yeah, I ate a slice of watermelon at the hotel and decided I'd just take it and run with it.
Well, you passed a hot dog truck too. I mean, are you going to make that? It's like, can you come up with some deeper reason? She's like, one time my kid was hungry and so we went to McDonald's. And so, you know, I'm making a clam steak or a clam fish.
It's like, you know, McDonald's, old McDonald had a farm to table. I thought, okay, great.
I'm making lettuce. A table.
I'm making a table. I did like when Brooke said that she. I can't wait to see Padma's face when she puts a huge oyster in her mouth. Did you mean to make me look like a sloppy American, Brooke?
And I'm not sure if this is where she said it or not. I've got so many notes for this show, but she, at one point she's like, well, I don't know if Shirley, I mean, if just a crudo, like, that's just like so light and boring. And I just prefer to be more interesting for my beginning. And I'm like, it's an oyster, Brooke. Like, I get that you're pouring something warm on top of it, but it's still an oyster. Like, stop acting like you're like walking on the moon.
I like Brooke saying, I like her shading Shirley for that, saying, I just want to make something more interesting. Now, excuse me, I have to get to my seminal drama of the episode, my flan. Will my flan work?
My boiled, canned milk, condensed milk. I'm like, okay, Brooke.
Nothing is more exciting than flan drama, am I right, everyone?
And Brooke is getting so mad at Shirley because she's like, okay, and then Shirley's just telling a story about everything. She's like, I cleaned the counter because one time I was in my house and my mama spilled a tea on the counter and I cleaned it up. And she said, Shirley, you're so crazy. Brooke's like, please make her fucking stop. Just
you know what's
stop.
Funny about the bowl over there is that one time I was looking at a bowl and I was like, how do you say this in English? And I saw B-O-W-L. I thought, wow, that's like an owl with a B in front of it. And I thought, what would that be funny if you saw an owl flying with a B too and then together there'd be a bowl? That's so funny.
She did that the whole time and it was making Brooke crazy. And Brooke's like, Shirley, can you keep it down over there? And they just cut to Shirley always looking like a yokel. She's like, I got that.
And she's yappy about everything. She's like, I put tapioca into my noodle to make it extra chewy because I like it chewy because it makes it feel like ramen. It's like when you go to college and you have ramen for the first time, you heat it up and it's like chewy. It's like you're like, what's the tapioca in here? You're like, Shirley,
the best was just the sound effect.
I got that.
So either way, Shirley is making her noodles. She's added tapioca into it to give it some chew. And her big drama is that she can't stabilize the pasta machine. If she can't get it to work, she won't have noodles. And it's like, commercial break. And when we come back, Katsuji just holds down the pasta machine and everything is fine.
Thank God you are so big. I was making pasta and I had Big Man hold it down and my mom says, you're so crazy.
Then I push him off roof. And he fell hard.
Katsuji's like, that was John's fault.
Katsuji's going to hold down three pasta machines at once.
So Shirley ends up using like the entire cast of Babe, like all the all the backup pigs and everything from Babe, just to take the fat off of them. And she's like, okay, you have rest. So she gives the she gave the rest to Brooke.
Mm-hmm.
And she's she goes, this is when she's still yapping. And she's like,
oh, Jay is the best sous chef or the best chef de cuisine. In Las Vegas, when I worked there, they used to call me tuck, which mean little devil. Yeah. The J is the yawn to my young.
That's so sweet.
I know. And then as they're preparing, like, that's coming down to the final 10 seconds, Shirley is yelling at everyone. She's like, too sloppy! Pick it up! Too sloppy!
Listen here, yawn, it's yawn! Pick it up!
Diabolita!
So Katsuji has now stood up and has pasta machine marks on his butt. And now the drama is Brooke's flan is not working.
Yes.
And the guests start to arrive into the restaurant and their families are there. And Brooke's freaking out. And she's like, my mom, I cannot disappoint my mom again. She's the head of the flan committee.
She has won the flan competition 2 years in a row. And also, I should mention that the flan competition's only been around for 2 years, but still,
and
she won
the
second annual.
Who competes.
My dad is the judge, to be fair.
I mean, my dad is very kind, you know, being Ned Flanders and all. Her dad is like, Oakley Doakley, neighbor.
My goodness. So, so the chefs are arriving. There are people like Danielle Ballude and Jonathan Waxman. And they're all coming in.
This was quite a group of guest judges.
Yeah.
They had one guy who looks like, I don't know, like in an adventure movie where you come across the weird old guy who gives you a clue, but he's very eccentric in a bookstore, you know, with like dust flying around his head. You know which one I mean?
Was that Jonathan Waxman?
Like, I have not had a taco like this since Germany. Like,
what? That was Joachim Spichal, whatever. He is a very big chef here in L.A.
He started off very rude. He's like, no!
He's German. What can you expect?
Yeah, he was like, Spätzlesnachzels. He started.
I have to interrupt everything. This is like the moment I've been waiting for. There is a, it appears to be a photo shoot taking place on a roof, like a building away with two shirtless guys. I just have to say, this is the dream right here.
And you know what else? That's not the first time that's happened either. I think this is like the third time we've been recording and someone's doing a photo shoot on the roof across the street.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people love doing amateur photo shoots on roofs in L.A. I mean, did we not see Vanderpump Rules with that pivotal film scene that was filmed of The Riven?
The Riven.
The Riven on the rooftop. Sorry, I'm looking. So, you can tell I'm looking because my voice goes away. I'm like, excuse me while I crane my head.
No, it's
damn
okay.
Palm tree.
While you try and temper your boner.
Yes.
I'll compliment the lovely Gail Simmons. Gail, thank you for not showing up in a terrible pattern. And you see how it changes everything.
Everything.
You showed up with this like...
We were stunned into silence at the truth of that statement.
It's like, let's sit here in silence and think about how everything has changed.
Yeah.
The confidence, the grace. She's like, I love that Shirley gave us an intro in her menu, everybody. Cooking. And then she's like... Cooking for my family, unconditional love. I love long titles. I was like, you know what? I love your strong opinions, Gail Simmons. Welcome.
And Padma was
welcome
like,
with your solid pantsuit.
And Padma was like, Gail, that's nice. Do you mind scooting over a little bit so that way some of the chefs could take a seat here? Thanks so much, Gail. Oh, you know, maybe take a seat at that table over there with the parents. I don't know. There's a seat over there by the door, Gail. Bless your heart.
That table seems to have a bit more room for people who need to put their elbows on it.
Gail, there's a plus-size chair over there for you if you need it. Gail, do you want this chair? It's a little sturdier.
Gail, you might like that table. It's reserved for four.
Gail, would you like a four top?
We could just put all the chairs together. I've asked them to bring armless chairs for you, Gail. Don't want you getting stuck again. Gail's like, wait a second.
Gail, would you like a lobster bib? I mean, I know there's no lobster, but, you know, crumbs do happen, I guess, right?
So Shirley comes out and sees her mom and sister. Now, I am not convinced that her mom is even real. Because her mom doesn't... I don't think her mom moves until the very end.
She did not
end.
Move the entire episode. She just sat there, turned at like a three-quarter angle, light shining on her alabaster skin, and just stared.
Awkwardly. Stared, not with a smile. Like, just
my
like,
daughter
oh.
brought me here onto television to be embarrassed in front of my ancestors.
If her face had a voice, it would be this.
I could be home watching NCIS. I like that, my common.
So Shirley's freaked out and starts crying. She's like, oh, I choke up. I hope she understands my story. I'm like, she'll understand it. It's 10 paragraphs. She'll at least get a couple of sentences. And then I just wrote, Brooke's dad is Ned Flanders. Yeah. So Padma's like, hi, Brooke and Shirley. What did you make us? Rick's like, a warm, gooey load for you, Padma. She's like, great. I'm experienced. And then Shirley's like, my first dish is called Let Us Take Skateboard and Dinner Bus to Lejeune, Snapper Crudo. It's like, what?
Teach me how to grow with you, Crudo. Like, did you just name that after something else on this network?
How to succeed at business are really Crudo.
Kaba Aline Crudo.
The chef, I just wrote down, Martha Ortiz looks pissed. They have this chef, this Mexican chef, Martha Ortiz, this beautiful woman. And she has these big, like, eyelashes glued on. And man, when she's not smiling, she looks furious. I was like, ooh, what did Crudo do to Martha? Can we get stories from the judges too, please? I need to know what's going on inside Martha Ortiz's mind. She was pissed.
Well, this is where Tom had his temper tantrum, where he's like, well, you have three pieces of fish.
two pieces of mint, two pieces of chili. If you want a piece of mint with every bite, how do you do that? How do you do that?
No, it was how one piece of chili.
Oh, it was one piece of chili? Oh, I thought it was two pieces of chili.
Yeah, it was two pieces of mint, one piece of chili, and three pieces of crudo. Yeah, the only reason I know is because he said it like 30 times, and I was laughing so hard. It's like, is this like, the first time Tom has counted anything? He was so proud of himself.
It's like 3-2-1 contact, you know? It's like, what are you doing, making a Christmas song, you know? Three pieces of fish, two pieces of mint, one piece of chili. I don't know. I don't get it. Oh.
Progression doesn't mean cooking. I mean, it doesn't mean counting. What do we got to count? One, two, three. What's next? Four? This is nuts. Who would do this?
I mean, you got to be careful. You don't want to have four pieces of mint because then you got a salad. But three piece, why not three?
The reactions to this were just beautiful all around. That weirdo judge from Germany is like, oh, there's so much liquid as you shove it down your throat. I was like, what? And then Brooke's mom, they cut to Brooke's parents, and she's like,
the oyster.
The mom's like, oh, the oysters were a surprise in my mouth. And the dad's like, that's the best I ever had, neighbor.
Brooke's mom was like, this oyster is like the my flan of seafood.
That's why we all call you Ned Flanders, honey. Oakley dokley, wifey.
I'm sure if you could submit this oyster into a competition, it would win, just like my flan always wins. No pressure.
And then they cut to John, who's eating with Silva, and Silva's just staring at a wall like, I can't believe my restaurant burned down still. And John's like, well, you know, the crudo was okay, but Brooks was swan yay. And then he gave himself a little laugh. He's all proud. Like, Stupid.
So second then next course. Second course, Shirley's ramen versus Brooks octopus.
My dish is called When I Was Eight, I Made a Ramen with Egg, and it tasted so good that I made it tonight.
I'm surprised that Shirley made ramen, to be honest. And this is a sentiment that was later echoed at judging. But ramen, I don't know. I think you should be more elevated, and I know you can elevate ramen, but I did not feel like that was a strong move for Shirley.
Yeah.
I think both when the first and second course, she suffered some creative lapses. There was not a lot of, the first course was not hugely original, and the second course was not hugely exciting.
Well, I think it's difficult because, you know, when she's doing other challenges and she's mixing her Chinese style in with that, it makes it different, you know? They're like, oh, this is a mix. But when she can do whatever she wants and it's just Chinese, I mean, she could serve cashew chicken beautifully. It's Chinese, but it's still going to be cashew chicken.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. Brooke's octopus.
I mean, that octopus is all that exciting either, but.
But octopus is also requires some finesse. So that's the thing. To cook excellent octopus, you know, it's not easy. It has a very small margin of error. And so and I was a little concerned because Sam was on octopus duty. But it turned out well. Was this the one that had the garlic? Was that? Yeah, I think this is the one that had.
It had an orange garlic and seafood stew of some kind.
I think this is the one because I think it was. I'm trying to remember. Because there was one thing where something was kept simple, but there was garlic all around it. I don't know. I think it was this one because the other one was pork and beans, quote unquote pork and beans. So this one was octopus, and then there was like garlic chips and garlic puree and garlic something else.
Oh, yeah, there was garlic because the German guy was like, I love how she played with garlic.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, the garlic stuff was hardcore Sam's. So not to take anything away from Brooke, but kind of want to take away something from Brooke.
I was impressed that she gave him credit, though. That was nice.
That was very nice. And, you know, I mean, at the same time, even though Sam did do that, you know, she signed off on it. And it was one of the reasons why she brought him on board. So it does go back. It does trace back to Brooke.
Yeah,
so
and
good
this
for you,
one,
Brooke.
It does count when they help. It counts in your favor in a way, you know, because they're like leading the ship. And it was nice. Like it's, you know, Brooke being a bitch or not, I really like Brooke. And so,
yeah, I love
in general.
Her.
And so I'm glad that she, you know, in the kitchen, she's like, Sheldon, how long did you cook that octopus? In other words, like, you kind of fucked that up. So, how long was it? And he's like, well, I cook it for 16, but you should do it for 14. She's like, okay, 14 minutes. So she basically cooked it his style. Sam did the, you know, the surroundings or whatever. And then she did an orange sauce, probably because she ate an orange on the bus earlier or some shit. You know?
Yeah, and Padma said, "This is finale food." So that was a sign of approval.
Now this is finale food.
I think Nilu Motamed also enjoyed it.
People
don't quote
me
on that.
Yes, she did. She did not give sour face. That's for sure. And the basic criticism was Tom, who I love finale because the judges get so over angry about things, especially Gail. But Tom's like, you know, ramen, it's had a resurgence. It's become a real trendy food, and you can really get an elevated ramen the past 10 years. And, you know, 10 years ago, this would have been great. But, you know, now, no.
Yeah, well, he's right. I mean, that's the danger that Shirley encountered, is that, you know, ramen has become a trendy thing. And if she's going to try to jump on the ramen train, she's got to do it better than everyone else. And she obviously didn't. They all thought the broth was flat.
They were like, no. So the third course, Brooke's pork belly. So much flavor.
Oh, and by the way, I just want to say at this point, it was very clear to me that Shirley would not be winning, because when Danielle Ballou says this is not a winning dish, you just sort of know you're out of the running. You need to have every dish of yours be amazing. You can't have one where someone says, not a winning dish. And it was sort of like two in a row.
Especially, I mean, in this, they could have caught up. She could have caught up if they didn't have to make dessert, because dessert just gets zero respect.
Well, actually, no, I would actually argue otherwise. And I'll get, and I'll circle back to my argument otherwise when the time comes.
I knew Shirley wasn't going to win when she said,
Our pork is different. Mine is so perfectly gelatinous.
It's like, I knew she would. As true as that is, it really doesn't sound good.
Yeah. Also, she picked Casey. So, so next, Shirley's piglet versus Brooke's pork belly. So now here, what I was sort of thinking would happen is that, okay, Brooke won round one and round two, obviously. And then if Shirley wins round three and round four, then it'd be interesting. But basically with this dish, everyone loved both dishes, and so they said it was a draw. So I was like, now Shirley can't win, because she needed to have a definitive victory with this dish, and the fact that she didn't means that she's screwed.
Yeah.
This dish is called Dear Baba, I Made You a Shank Pork. You love it. Suckling pork with lentil.
And Padma's like, I kind of love how Shirley served a shank. I mean, isn't that great? Much better than that bitch Brooke, am I right? Making me shove an oyster in my mouth.
It takes guts for her to serve us shank, unlike Brooke, who just served us guts. Am I right, guys?
Could everyone please pass me your bones? We're collecting them for Gail Simmons down in the corner.
Gail needs a toothpick.
Here, Gail, we collected some shanks for you. We know how much you love them. Did you mean to chew on all our shanks, Gail?
Did you mean to chew the bone right off of that?
Oh, look at Gail. She's got sauce all over her mouth. Isn't she just adorable? This is also the moment where Tom started doing my other favorite thing of the, my other favorite runner of the episode, which was not the ratio of mint and jalapeno to hamachi, but Tom talking about how much he forgot, how much he loved wild rice. You know what?
You
forgot. That's fine. Yeah, you know. This is the reason why we love wild rice. It's got a great chew. I love wild rice. I'm just going to say it.
There, I said it.
Tom Colicchio, love wild rice. Okay.
Someone call Food & Wine Magazine. Tom Colicchio forgot how wild rice can be. Am I right?
Right. Nilu Motamed, let's do a feature on wild rice. You're so wild. Wild at heart. We'll call it Wild at Heart. All right.
This is also where one of the judges was like, do we judge this based on size? Because one of these is huge. And Padma goes, size doesn't matter, haven't you heard? And I was like, ooh, Salmon Rushdie burn. I love a good Salmon Rushdie burn in the finale. You go, girl.
She's like, yes, one of these is clearly larger. We call it Gailing it up. Am I right, Gail? Oh, no, I made her cry again.
Large and gelatinous. Gail's original name.
We know something about that, don't we, Gail?
This entire dish was based off of your story, Gail. Does it still count?
Don't worry. She can't hear us over the sound of gnawing on the shank bones.
Gail, did you mean to insert your huge self into Shirley's story?
Gail, did you mean to make such a mess of the shank bones over there in the corner? Joaquin, just walk around her. Don't worry. We'll put a sheet over her.
So Brooke was serving pork and beans, and Brooke's like, well, I made pork and beans. God, we couldn't be more different. Like, get out of here.
You're actually Brooke. Exactly the same. You're both serving pork. So the same that you have the same ingredient.
Yeah, you literally have the same pork. Get the fuck out of here. It's like the same pig. It's like babe understudy number three. Get out of here.
Yeah. So then it's time for...
I did like seeing the little gay. I've missed the straight gay guy, Jim. Is that his name? Jim?
They showed
him in the audience. He was sitting with somebody, and the guy he was sitting with, I forgot who it was. Sorry, guy he was sitting with. He's like, seems like a tie. And Jim goes, total tie!
Now let's watch Game of Thrones. Doesn't he like Game of Thrones? I feel like he talked about it.
I haven't cried since Jon Snow died!
Spoiler!
Yeah, he spoiled it, not me.
Yeah, he did.
So the final dish. The final dish is called Make a Rice Pudding with Coconut Snow because I like to snow!
The longest title ever.
I was really concerned because since Shirley already did elevated, what do you call it, comfort food or rustic food with a ramen, I thought when she said she's doing rice pudding, I was concerned because also, by the way, I also was concerned for two things. One, that the ramen didn't work out. And two, I feel like in a finale, you can only pull that card twice, right? Elevated simple food, you know? So if you're doing ramen and you're doing rice pudding, I don't know. That doesn't sit well with me.
I was more worried that it was rice pudding without rice. That sounds crazy to me.
What did she use?
I don't know. There was a bunch of different fruits in there and stuff.
But everyone loved it.
Yeah, I was shocked. Padme was like, that is my favorite dish of the entire night.
She loved it.
Because you got to finish the rice because my mama said to. That's byline of title.
I think Gail said, I think it was this dish. Gail was like, I actually ate every single bite of it. And you could just tell Padma was laughing haughtily. Like, we know, Gail. We know.
Let us bring out the shock music. Surely there will be a ching.
Did you mean to embarrass yourself in front of these esteemed chefs, Gail?
Look at that. You finished every bite of your rice and the entire bowl. The busboy would have taken that for you, Gail, dear. So let's see. So the mom cries.
Brooke brings out her flan, the famous flan.
Oh, yeah.
And it comes out and it's a disaster. Everyone, you know, Graham or Grant or whatever his name is like saying how it's too stiff. Everyone's saying it's too stiff. It needs to be light. It needs to be airy. It's dense. And everyone's like, well, I mean, it's a finale. It's not a finale dessert. It seems strange. I don't get it. Whoop.
I don't get it. Rum? I don't get it. And one of my favorite tastes, oh, yeah. I like when the Spanish lady, Monica, whatever her face is, her big eyelashes fluttered and she's like, one of the most amazing tastes in all of the world is the taste of the chamomile. And the chamomile flower, so strong and beautiful and vibrant, not here.
Yes, bitch. Meanwhile, her mom's sitting in the back being like, well, you know, if maybe if she listened to me more, she'd make a better flan, but that's none of my business.
You know, I just don't understand what it is about Brooke that loves disappointing me.
Well, it's called consistency, dear. Hurdly dirdly.
Well, I guess not everything can be passed down through the bloodline, huh? Like flan making skills.
Chamomile flan, the most Mexican thing I've ever heard of. So the mom, this part was so sweet. Shirley's so mom funny. Finally moves. I was like, oh my god, yes. Someone changed her battery. So
yeah.
She moves and she tells the sister, how I say beautiful Shirley, I'm proud. And she's like, you say beautiful Shirley, I'm proud. And she's like, oh, and then they cry and I was like, okay, I'm crying now. And yeah, she told Shirley that, and then Shirley started crying with her, like, really fast crying. She was like,
okay, we done now. It was like the end of an Oscar movie.
Oh, that's so crazy. I've been waiting for this moment since the day I told her I want to change career from being dental assistant to a banker to person who works at an electric company to being chef. And this time she finally understood me, and not even through words, only through cooking. Wah, 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 wah,
wah. Wah, 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 wah,
wah. Guess who else was whining very slowly and sloppily? Me.
Oh, yeah. Well, it really was like, I can imagine an Oscar movie, and I wouldn't believe that this would happen. Where It's like an Ang Lee movie, and there's the mother who is disapproving of something and then finally comes to appreciate something. And the mother says at a climactic moment with the music swelling, "Surely, you're beautiful. Surely, I'm proud." And then everyone is like, and the Academy Award goes to
that lady,
Shirley Light,
the stiff lady,
Wawa Land.
I would like to make a speech. Wah, 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 wah.
Wah, 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 wah. Thank you to everyone. Thank you.
I'm done.
They're like, you still have 35 seconds left.
Oh.
Oh, so, God. Meanwhile, that was Brooke, a beautiful moment, I have to say. So and good. Usually I do not cry in finales because by the time we get to the finale, I usually don't like anybody that's made it. It's very rare. And this time I like them both, and I just love Shirley. I mean, beyond being talented, she's just such a sweet lady. I love her. And that is big validation, getting that from your parents who never approved of you cooking and stuff. And she's like, oh, my God, people do pay you for ramen. Oh, wah, wah, wah. She's like, oh, wah. She's like, wah, 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 wah.
Yeah, if there's anyone who could make me root against Brooke, it would have to be Shirley, because I love Brooke. Like, I love Brooke.
Yeah.
So there's only one person who I could love more, which would be Shirley.
Yeah.
And probably Tiffany, maybe Tiffany from Top Chef DC.
Well, you know, during this whole thing, I was thinking, Brooke is really such a dick. I can't imagine how these sweet people, her parents, would ever say we're disappointed or would ever make her feel like that, because they're so sweet. And then it shows Brooke with her family, and the mom was like, you did so great, except for the dessert.
She's like, it was wonderful. I mean, dessert was okay. She's like, what? And they just cut to commercial.
I mean, disappointment flan will never win the community flan championship. But you know what? We each have our lane.
You know, Brooke, I thought it was really admirable that you tried to out-flan me, but you can't out-flan the flan master, okay? So stay in your own lane, bitch. Mom, jeez.
She's like, I'm so getting another tattoo. In a very visible place, mother.
And it will be a firm flan. It'll be a firm tattoo that smells like chamomile.
So we go to the judges' table, and basically, I mean, I think we've mostly talked about all of this stuff.
Although one of my favorite things that happened at the judging table is when they're talking about the first course, and they're talking about Brooke's oyster, and they're like, yeah, I mean, Brooke's oyster was like a slap to the face. I'm like, people, you have to relax.
Yeah,
it was an oyster that had bacon on it. They're like, I mean, that really got it started. Woo, what a way to start a meal. I mean, it was like being on a roller coaster. Buckle in, there was an oyster with some bacon on it. Woo, I felt like I had been personally violated by that oyster, and I liked it.
Yeah, grandma's like, yeah, I don't know. It's a progressive meal, so that was a little bit much out of the gate. Full throttle coming out with that oyster. Yeah. Hit me in the face. I don't know how I like that. And Tom's like, I felt a smack in the face. Kind of liked it. And I like that Brooke sticks up for herself.
Someone had taken a pickaxe and whacked it into my back.
Yeah. Brooke sticks up for herself, though. She's like, well, I knew this would come up, and I put a lot of thought into it before I did it, and I still did it.
And you're all pussies because it's just an oyster with bacon on it.
Yeah. Full throttle. Brooke, full throttle.
Brooke, full throttle. Tonight, Brooke is bringing out an oyster.
Graham's head just explodes. He's like, I just bought these white glasses. God damn it.
I'm just imagining like some sort of, what do you call them again? Those like those car rally things. Those, you know, where like cars jumping over other cars and a big dinosaur car comes out with fire coming out. Big wheels, you know, like one of those, like, what do you call those things? Those events?
Cars jumping all over each other.
You know what I'm talking about? Those events.
Derbies, roller derbies.
It's like a motor rally, but it, you know, it's like Saturday at the Pomona Echoplex. There's going to be a big wheel crushing other little cars, and then there's going to be stunts and fireworks. Yeah,
monster truck rallies.
Monster truck rally. Thank you, God. Good God.
Otherwise known as Gail taking the stairs.
Full throttle, Brooke's oyster.
Whoa, Gail. That was like Charlie's Angels, full throttle. Not quite as good as the first, but man, did it hit you in the face.
Right. Brooke, can you describe what it was like to slap Gail in the face, full throttle?
Other things that slap Graham in the face. His boobs as he runs. That's all I could come up with. And I have boobs, so I'm allowed to say that. Okay, everybody, just calm down.
Calm down. Calm down. So, I just laughed at how dramatic they were about that oyster.
It's just Graham. It's like Graham doesn't come up with that much to say, but when he does, Tom like, said it he's too. A jowl shaking mess. Well, he followed Graham, though, because Tom was like, well, yep, felt the slap in the face, I guess. But Graham was the one who's like, whoa, that was nuts. Full throttle in the face on my butt around the corner.
Well, it was a slap in the face, but it surely wasn't the indignity of having hamachi with only two pieces of mint and one piece of chili. You know what I'm saying?
Did you count the mint on that plate?
Did you mean to make Tom say, did you mean to count the mint on the plate?
Did you mean to turn Tom into Dennis? I mean, did you mean to turn Tom into Rain Man?
Did you mean to play Ico Ico while Tom walked to Vegas? That's a deep cut because I have the Rain Man soundtrack. And Ico
Ico. Las Vegas is where they call me Taka Taka Lak Lak.
I feel like Ico Ico is probably Shirley's personal anthem.
I go.
Your flag boy and my flag boy sitting by the fire. Your flag boy said to my flag boy, we'll light this place on fire. Talk about Eno. I go, Anne. Talk about Fino, Anne. Talk about Fino, Anne. I go. Wah, wah, wah. I learned so much from Ico Ico.
Oh, my God. Okay, so Brooke gives credit to Sam for the chips I wrote. And then, so the second chorus went to Brooke. Obviously, it was pretty obvious that she got that one. And then and the third was the tie. Chips. And then the dessert, Tom was like giving all sorts of chamomile snaps. It was hilarious. I'll tell you one thing this dessert didn't do. Calm me down. Not at all. Not a relaxing dessert.
No. I mean, you could have done anything. You could have done sleepy time tea. You could have done black tea.
Like when Padma was chamomile? Like. So, Brooke... Is the story behind this that you used to make flan with your mother? And she's like, no, actually, she never taught me how to make flan. She would just make it for me.
Maybe that's why I lost mother.
Brooke's stories are so non-romantic. I'm like, Padma is trying to help you out here, okay?
Did you mean to turn your flan into a disgusting eggy mess, Brooke?
Did you mean to title this flan The Disappointment of a Mother, Brooke? My mom's like crying on the beach.
Brooke, maybe you should have tried a panna cotta, or maybe you would have called it a panna canata.
A panna nata.
Brooke, does it bother you that your mother is over there in the corner smirking? Because she is. Brooke, I thought your flan was wonderful. Oh, I'm sorry. This is from your mother. Never mind.
So Shirley, Padma was obsessed with Shirley's dessert. She was really rooting for a Shirley win, you could tell, because she said over and over, she's like, but that tapioca was the best dish of the night. And they're like, really? Well, great. They would all smile and then just...
To be fair, Padma has been gunning for Brooke for weeks and weeks, because every judging, she's like, I don't know, I'm kind of on Team Sheldon and not Team Brooke tonight. I don't know. I just feel like Brooke really messed it up with that yogurt parfait.
Yeah, Brooke really fucked with Padma at some point. And even at this part, they showed a clip. They showed a cut. They cut to Brooke because Padma's like, Shirley, your tapioca was amazing. And then it cuts to Brooke and she's just giving this like, fuck you, Padma. She's just looking at her like, fuck you, bitch.
You know, Padma was probably like, Brooke, how did it feel to wait 4 years to finally cook dessert on a Top Chef finale and only have it be such a huge disappointment and only flan?
How does it feel to be so mediocre at a finale? Gail?
How does it feel? Brooke, did you mean to identify with Gail so much with your mediocrity as epitomized by your flan? That's not as good as your mom's flan, which is much better than your flan.
Your flan was definitely firmer than Gail's ever been, but...
Brooke, I admire you for expressing the firmness of my physique in your flan, but unfortunately, we are looking for something a little more Gail-esque. Gail is so... like, what the fuck is wrong with all of you? I'm skinny. No. Bless your heart, Gail.
Gail is like, I do not have a weight problem! And she really doesn't. Like, she is tiny and skinny and adorable and gorgeous.
This is when we have to mention that we think Gail is beautiful. We've seen her in person. We love Gail. She's our favorite. But we just pretend that Padma likes to be shady to Gail.
Yes.
It's part of our fiction. It's part of our storytelling.
Yeah, you guys. It's part of our fanfic.
Yeah, flanfic. So...
It's part of our mediocre flanfic, okay?
We are actually doing flanfiction on the flan. So anyway, despite Brooke's mediocre, stiff flan, worthy of a John or a Lena Dunham.
I'm writing down flanfiction. Because
flanfiction, that's the name of it.
The title of our show. I can never come up with titles. You're so good at titles. And I'm like, why don't we just call it Vanderpump Rules, number...
To be fair, there are times I will literally spend 30 to 40 minutes trying to come up with a title for our episodes. I'm crazy about... Oh, can we also talk about... I have to say, Willie Loman. We said Willie Logan last week on our Beverly
Hills
recap.
Actually, you said Willie Logan, and I am too stupid to correct you. And you know what? I do not have good knowledge of plays, so I wouldn't know that. But I do have very good knowledge of Soap Dish.
I have very good knowledge of Soap Dish and plays, so I'm doubly inexcused for saying Willie Logan. I guess I was caught up in all the excitement for the movie Logan coming out. But Willie Loman.
Loman. From Soap Dish.
Yeah.
Oh man. Well, it's okay, babe. It all worked out. You know, I was impressed how many of our listeners knew that.
Well, I wasn't impressed because our listeners are smart. That's actually one of the defining
features. That's always what surprises me. It always impresses me.
We have actually very smart listeners, and I love that this Willie Loman thing seems to have been the thing that everyone is tweeting at us about. Like, we get things wrong all the time, or we'll mispronounce something or say something incorrectly. And this Willie Loman thing, I'm telling you, it is haunting me. Everyone's like, you know, it's Willie Loman. You know, it's Arthur Miller, one of America's foremost playwrights of the 20th century, right, Ben Mandelker?
I'll be sure to put it in the timestamps just so people can always search for it and find
Willie
it.
Willie Loman
apologizes to Willie Logan.
No, don't be.
Don't be a batch.
Don't be a batch.
So let's see. This is when Brooke comes out again, and I love it. She's alone with Shirley in the back while they're awaiting the decision. And Brooke's like, well, we should have a drink. And you know what, Shirley? It was an honor to compete against you. And Shirley goes, you took the line right out of my heart. And Brooke's like, oh, I took the line out of your heart, Shirley. Did I? I took the line out of your heart. She's like, oh, yeah. And then she just stops smiling and looks at Brooke like, geez. And then Brooke just stares at her in the eye while she drinks without a smile on her face. Like, my God, Brooke. She's so shady.
Yeah, super shady. It was great. Nice little touch at the end there for our season. And then eventually it came down to it, and Padma got to – well, Tom did the thing that he's been saying for the past four episodes.
Well, you know, tonight there are no losers, only winners. But unfortunately, it's just, you know, we need to announce a winner, and, you know, one of you just cooked a better meal than the other.
And I'm like, Tom, that's really nice and everything, but there's been a loser every single week of this show. An active loser. Someone has been sent home. They are an actual loser, and they feel like a loser, even if you say they're not a loser.
There are no winners and losers, only winners and Gail.
Well, there are no losers, but there are people who can make better flan. That's what Brooke's mom said, at least.
And Brooke wins! So Brooke wins, and she's all happy, obviously. I love that her chef de cuisine still won't smile. Like, what the fuck is wrong with that guy? He's like, meh, blink, blink.
He's like, I told her to put the oven up 10 more degrees for the flan.
And Brooke's like, oh, finally, I feel validated. I finally made my family proud. Well, except for my mother, but, I mean, that's a stretch. Let's face it. It's probably not going to happen. But.
She's already shown up with new flans that are significantly better than mine, and it's just very insulting that she would come in on my moment like this.
And Gail cements my love for her when she takes a glass of champagne and she goes, well, I was going to give this to Shirley, but I'm going to drink it. Shirley, You are an incredible woman, and you lost nothing tonight. You gained a fan. You are an amazing human being. She's like, can I have that champagne? No.
This is meant for Brooke.
And Shirley's like, well, at the end of the day, maybe I lost a big prize at the end, but at least I won my mom, which is more than I can say for Brooke.
At least my mom is proud of me. Wah, 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 wah.
I done.
Wah, wah. Wah, wah, wah.
And that was the end of the season. I love Top Chef. I'm so sad that it's gone. It's over.
This is one of my favorite seasons of recent years, for sure. I was getting a little bit tired of it last year. I think never. Because they had like 75 chefs last year, and make it stop.
I never get tired of Top Chef. I don't mind if they have a million chefs on there. I could watch it all year round.
Well, maybe one day you'll someday get to. If they ever get a spinoff that works.
Yeah, but well, they did have one that worked, and then they fucked it up.
Which one? Desserts?
Top Chef Just Desserts. Well, season one was amazing.
Why did they cancel that? Because that guy was like a child pornographer or some shit?
That the probably guy who did won not help. Morgan? Yeah, that probably did not help, especially because his whole storyline was about his kid. But I think that season two, it didn't have the buzz because they cast all straight people. It has to be the gay version of Top Chef. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the Red Hots. Oh, my God. That was amazing. Well, anyway, this has officially lasted 40 minutes longer than the actual episode.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
So much fun. Everybody, thanks so much for listening to us. You know the drill, where to find us. All our links are at watchwhatcrappens.com. And thanks so much to everybody who supports this podcast, monetarily and non-monetarily. We just love you. And this has been, I sound like I'm quitting, I'm not. But this is really a great journey to be on with you guys. And I love my life. So thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Go follow us on Instagram.
Wow, wow, wow.